Welcome to Huron County's Life on the Coast, a podcast series about topics of importance and interest in Huron County. I'm your host, Roz Elliott, with a dialogue about farm succession and transition planning in one of Ontario's largest agricultural economies. During the course of our series, we've set the stage for the imperative of succession planning. We've received expert counsel on what contributes to constructive conversations. And we have heard firsthand from various perspectives about the proverbial farm kitchen table, the female founders who often wear multiple hats, and the next generation forging the future. In our fifth episode, we invite a new perspective, which is adjacent to the core, seated at the table and yet not an original stakeholder. What is the experience of those who marry into an ongoing concern, the family business, a generational farm? How do you navigate your role? Today, we sit with the in-laws. And as we have these conversations, we are reminded of the first people to care and steward the land and resources. They helped us understand this environment. They supported us. We are also reminded of the thoughtful and careful dialogue they have had with their next generations about continuity. Truly, they are a model for a discussion, thinking generations into the future, building on generations of wisdom from before. Here today offering me some insight, some in-law insight, is Florence Witherspoon and Chris Spoletta. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Well, I thought we could begin by setting a little context. You know, we're going to talk about being at the in-law table, adjacent to the core, but it all began with you and your background. We want to hear about you first. So Florence, talk to me before you became part of this bigger unit. What's your background?
Well, I was born and raised just outside of Auburn, Ontario, on a dairy farm. My parents were immigrants. I'm a first generation Canadian. My sister and I helped around on the farm. We were always scantering around and helping out with milking the cows and feeding the calves, and we just had that rural lifestyle. My parents were always very busy. It wasn't until we were 5 or 6 years old where they actually had some help on the farm, so my parents were always doing it together, and the farm was our life. That's what we did. So we kind of grew up in there. My dad, he sold the farm. He ended up buying some laying hens. And through my teen years, we helped out with that as well. And then eventually, when my sister and I were about 20 years old, the conversations were had, and it was decided that they were going to sell it off. So the succession planning never happened in my own family directly. So this is something kind of new in this realm for me. But from what I was raised in, my dad, in his own family, before he came, he kind of completed the succession planning before he had his own family. So these conversations of including other people in decision making was never a conversation, because it was always just done and dealt with. So I grew up with my dad being a free agent. He never relied on anyone else to contribute to the conversation about how things are going to move forward.
And it sounds like a lot of fond memories in this lifestyle of growing up on a farm.
Oh, rural lifestyle is something that I have chosen to continue. And a large part of the reason why I am where I am today is because I chose not to go to the city.
And your kids, do they love it too?
Oh, yeah. We have a pathway that goes between our farm and the home farm, and it's right in the middle of the field. And they take the blue buggy, the side by side, and they'll go back and forth. They take walks to grandma's house that way, and I couldn't imagine not having the space, with the trampoline and the pond nearby, and I couldn't imagine not having that.
Yeah, it's that idyllic upbringing that we remember. I remember running out in the fields and going to the big bush and looking for tracks. And, that's the image a lot of people have of growing up on a farm. And you had some really great memories.
Yeah, the sauntering free spirit I like to always think about. So,
Well, let's turn to another sauntering free spirit, but not one I don't believe that grew up on a farm. Chris, what was your upbringing?
Well, I grew up here in Goderich, like 10 minutes from Florence, but had a very different upbringing. My parents were both also immigrants, one from France, one from Italy, and I grew up with my dad as an architect and my mom as a teacher. The closest my family came to farming was my dad's grandfather farmed in Italy. And so as a child, he lived near a farm in Italy. But that's about all we had.
Did you hear stories about that farm growing up?
A little. The ones that I recall involve him being bad and his grandma grabbing a switch from a nearby tree. But no, not a lot about the farming.
Well, before we get into your current arrangements, I want to stay a little bit selfish and talk a little bit more about who you are and your identity. And I want to go back to you, Florence. You have a big job. You're the clerk of the municipality of Asheville, Colborne, Wawanosh, ACW. Mm-hmm. I know that's a big role. You've got to be savvy, talented, accomplished. What's your package? What's your identity?
Well, to be honest, I never, you know, when we talk about me growing up on a farm, I was never a farmer. I was the kid that was dragged out to the farm that had to help. Rural lifestyle aside, you know, I was not the one that was passionate about the animals, or I did it because I needed to and I had to, and not that I totally begrudged doing it, but so I was always, you know, off with my friends, going to the city, trying to explore new places, see new things, and after going to school, I realized that I wanted to be at home, and I've always felt that this was, that I was to do something that had to be grassroots and that had to have some kind of cultural and community kind of inclusion to it. So I am the clerk of the township. It's about as grassroots as you can get, especially in a small rural municipality. I consider myself a leader in my community, and I'm a heavy decision maker, I guess, aside from, you know, I guess in the background, obviously with council as my directive, but I see myself as someone who is independent, and I can manage many of life's challenges. And in this conversation, I think that brings an asset to the conversation of succession planning and managing a future decision as well. So
yeah, you're going to bring a very unique perspective in the sense that you're a leader in the community. And what does that mean within the farm unit? How do you show leadership when perhaps you're not part of that integral unit? You're also a mom.
Yes, I've got two children. We have two children, 6 and 9, and they are rambunctious and a lot of fun.
So. Wow. And interests, what's fun for you?
Gosh, music is probably one of my big ones. I am a member of Huron Song. I have a lot of fun doing that. That's my weekly meditative activity. I have a pretty big garden outside, a perennial garden. I don't bother with vegetables because that's just way too much work. I don't have time for that, you know, with the full-time job and then also the farm to help out with and when I need to. So I love books. So yeah, winter is my reading time.
Chris, what hopes and dreams did you have as a kid? What did you think you would be doing?
Exploring the world, building bridges a mile. No, I have no idea. As a child, I thought of all sorts of stuff.
You were an open book. You were a dreamer.
Yeah, just whatever was coming up. I was just excited to see what happened.
And you have parents from who grew up in Europe, yeah. So you're worldly, you're a reader, you're a
yeah.
writer, I know.
Yeah.
You're kind of have a big ideas kind of guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I love just finding out what's going on and being a part of it and helping out where I can.
And you've done some work with Eat Local Huron, I understand.
Yes. I'm the executive director of Eat Local Huron. I was the founding chair when we started it up. And for those who don't know, it's a nonprofit that runs an online farm store for all of the farmers and food makers in the area so that people in Huron County can go online and buy whatever they want from all of the different farmers and have it dropped off at the door.
Yeah, you've done impressive work.
Thank
and
you.
What a contribution again to the community. This is what we talk about, making a difference at the local level. You both, in your own ways, are really making a mark. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, let's go ahead a little bit. Something neat happened. You fell in love. You met the one. And now you find yourself part associated with a farm family. And for you, not so foreign, Florence. For you, Chris, a little bit different story. Florence, for you, it was eyes wide open, I'm going to guess. Can you describe for me, is there a culture of agriculture? Is there a lifestyle that people, that you were familiar with, that you kind of knew what you're getting into?
Oh, for sure. I think the expectation around the 24/7, 365 clock was there. That's something I grew up with. I know that. I think that part of it was always set in stone for me. You know, Nathan knew from the time that he was, you know, from the time that he could ride the pedal tractor that he wanted to be a farmer. And so when I met him, I just knew that, right? I think the thing that wasn't there was the idea that it might be a little different than what I expected it to be. So that the family traditions, the other way of doing things, you know, that's not how I do it, or that's not how we did it. Those kinds of stepping stones, even in any relationship, you kind of learn how to do that. But in a farm, it's that same way where, no, that's not your decision, that's mine, or that's not how we do things, we'll do it this way. That was a bit of a curve. And for me, it was really a lesson of, okay, well, maybe I'll just step back for a little while and let this evolve and see how things happen. I mean, I have my own career, so it's something I could just leave it and do my own thing while things got kind of sorted out, or watching how they work.
And when you're at, you know, ACW as the clerk, is it appreciated that you have a big job that you're doing by the family?
For sure.
Yeah, they get that.
Yep.
Okay, good. Chris, I want to turn to you. I don't get the sense that it was as eyes wide open, that, you know, a lot of people think this is like an escape to the country, very idyllic. Were there some unwritten rules that you didn't, no one handed you a playbook, did they?
I had no idea what farming was like before moving to a farm. I have been learning as I go, and there is still tons and tons that I have yet to learn. But no, I had no experience in farming. When Maria started farming, I was all gung-ho for her to start farming. I was like, great, this is going to be fun, good for you, enjoy that while I go do whatever it is I'm going to do. I worked in banking for a while. I also didn't know what it was like to run your own business. Long story short, no idea.
And so how did you find yourself weaving into the fabric of the farm?
Just bit by bit. Like whenever they needed help here or there, I would do a little bit here, do a little bit there, learn a little bit as I went. And eventually, by the time we were having kids, I was stepping in and running the barn full time. And I didn't see it coming, but there you go.
So you're like a full-time farmer.
not so much anymore. As our kids are getting older, our youngest is two now. Maria's stepped back in the barn. But yes, I did that for the last decade, roughly. Yeah, not in the fields or anything, just in the barn.
And how do you prioritize? Were there things that naturally came your way, kids, anything like that, that were assigned to you, if you will?
I wish I had a grand overarching plan, but we just kind of figured it out as we went along.
Would you change anything? Has it been a good experience?
Oh, it's been great. I can't say I would change anything.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about you as a family, your family with your kids, just your family unit. What's us time look like, Florence? What's your own rhythms look like?
Us time is, you know, after school, me getting home from work, getting supper started, those conversations that you have about your day. Then Nathan gets home from work. He does have a full-time job outside of the farm as well. And then it's, you know, the moments before chores, and then he grabs the kids, takes them out for chores. They, you know, play in the hay mow while we clean up or do whatever. And then, yeah, weekends are spent, you know, tidying up or helping with fencing or, you know, doing, you know, going out to the bush or those kinds of things. So it's always, it's very rural focused. It's time there. We don't spend our time. We don't spend our weekends going to the city. We don't find those things to do because we know that they are right there at home.
Yeah, people pay to go to rural places for vacation.
Precisely.
Right?
We don't need to do that.
Yeah, it's not a luxury. And Chris, for you, is there a special vibe that your family unit has?
Chaos.
Oh, I love that. Brilliant.
So I've got five kids. So it's, yeah. It seems like us time is like all the time. And there are brief moments where there's nobody in the house. And you look around and you're like, oh, really? This is amazing.
I savor those moments.
Right?
Far and few between, I imagine.
Yeah. So like our youngest is 2 and our oldest is 9. And so, yeah, it's been go.
Busy.
For a long time now. Yeah.
Busy.
Yeah. But it's fun. Like it's constant chaotic fun, I should say.
Oh, that sounds remarkable. Now, here's a question for you as we think about the business of the farm that you're associated with. Florence, for you, you're watching some of the business actions happen. You're maybe not a contributing decision maker, if that's fair, but you've been around a block. You're a decision maker in your own sense. What goes through your head? How can you contribute? How can you be of support?
I think the best way is to be the support, as you just said. You know, I know that I am not the primary decision maker in this because it is not my business that has been brought down, and it is not something that I manage. As a decision maker, in my nature, being a decision maker, it can be very, very tough to kind of stand back and watch it play out. But I understand fully that it is not mine to do. I think there's an expectation in agriculture that once you marry into it, or as soon as you become involved in it, that it's all hands on deck and that every single person has this innate ability and want and need to be completely part of it. And that's not true. I love to watch his dream unfold, but it's his dream and I will be there to support it in every way that I can, but it's not my checkbox to check off.
So you've got some very clear delineations and healthy respect there, it feels like.
There is, for sure.
That's wonderful. And Chris, for you, you get a front row seat to everything going on. How do you contribute? How do you help them navigate when you see things? Because you have a finance background. Mm-hmm. You have languages. You're a smart mm-hmm. guy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So same as Florence, basically. Like I watch it happen. I bring to the table my skills when I can and when asked for, and it's her operation. Like I'm there to help. It's kind of like if Maria was running a hotel, like she would run everything, and then when she needed help with something, I'd step in and help. But like she's manager, owner, the whole thing, and. Like a hotel, sometimes stuff happens in the middle of the night and you've got to not do whatever you're doing and hold down the fort while she's out dealing with whatever needs dealing with. But yeah, it's her operation.
And you're very flexible and supportive.
I have learned to be.
You've got to be.
You've got to be. No choice, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I'm going to have you put your advice column hat on here for a second. So imagine, if you will, Florence, you get a call from one of your dearest friends in the world, and your dearest friend says, oh my goodness, guess what? I met the one. Oh, wow, perfect person. And I'm moving to Huron County to join them on their family farm, third generation farm. I just bought cool coveralls and work boots, and I'm going to have a flower perennial farm, and I'm going to play my guitar on the porch, my ukulele. What would you say to your best friend? And after you stop laughing, of course, what would you say?
I'd say talk about it first.
Mm.
I think there's a level of expectation, or how do I even put it? I think you need to release expectations. Where there is expectation, there is going to be disappointment. So you really have to just step back and watch it unfold and realize that it's not yours. Sure, you know, you have this wonderful land that you can now throw a beautiful garden around, but you have to work with that. It's not something that'll be inherent or will happen right away. You just have to take your time with it.
Expectation, disappointment, that was a really striking thought. I like that a lot. And Chris, put your advice columnist hat, your best friend in the whole world is going to do the jump. What do you say to them?
If they're going in farming, then awesome. I hope they know what they're doing. just to remember that the farm's business. Like it's running a small business. It's not it's not a playground. It's a business, and it requires attention like a business, and it's on your mind like a business. And when stuff needs doing, everything else needs to stop like a business. Just understand that it's a business.
I get it. Last thought, Florence, are you happy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I wouldn't change it. I think watching it evolve, watching us grow, watching our family grow in this rural environment, you know, having the land, having the cows, it's part of it. I wouldn't change any of it.
Chris, you, is it a joy?
Yeah, life is a joy.
You too. I want to thank you for joining me on this conversation. Is there anything that we didn't chat about that you think it's important for people to know?
In my particular case, our farm has been in Maria's family since the 1830s or 40s, and that adds another dimension to it, where like this is a historic family farm that has been passed down through generations. Like, if it wasn't already definitely hers, it's definitely hers. Like, it's a family thing. There's heritage and tradition going on there on top of the business as well. And that's really cool for our children as well, that they get to be a part of that.
It's like an heirloom.
Yes.
Wow.
Except that, you know, you get to play around on, and that makes you money. It's really great.
A really good heirloom, from what I hear.
Sure.
There you go.
So if I could just add into that, you know, my husband, obviously the generation isn't that long. However, there is this inherent and this ingrained love for the idea of a historic value in the generations. He wants to do this because he wants to pass it on. That whole feeling of being part of where you live and where you grow up, it is so important, and he wants to pass that along. And I think there's so much value in that.
Well, I'd like to thank you both for passing along such tremendous insight. It's been so helpful. And Florence, earlier you mentioned expectations and disappointment. I had no disappointment, and I did have high expectations, and you both surpassed them greatly. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
Thank you both, Florence and Chris, for your candor today. Much appreciated. You both offer a perspective that is both observer and participant, and it's very much a unique vantage point. You are your own person. I get a strong sense of that today. And you're also a very important part of an economy that we need that shapes our region and our own country, and you're doing your own thing too. We're going to look forward to our final episode, which will come full circle in our series, Back to the Founder Generation, and we will hear from the founder male. Join us here again on Huron County's Life on the Coast, and thank you for listening. I'm Roz Elliott. This podcast is funded in part by the Ontario Ministry of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs, and the County of Huron. The views expressed in this podcast are not those of the province or the county.